behind it. A fresh start. You know, there's some places that all of us have in our lives that bring about difficult emotions. A place perhaps where memories aren't so pleasant due to the mistakes that we've made or the bad experiences that we had while there. I have those places in my life that when I drive down that street or view that property or come into that town, I'm reminded of some not so pleasant things in my life. And perhaps all of us have those certain situations, places, circumstances that bring out bad memories. Well, the Valley of Achor in Joshua chapter 7 would be that kind of place for Israel. You'll remember last Sunday night after the defeat at Ai, it was discovered that Achan had broken God's law, and due to his theft, he and everything related to him was taken to the Valley of Achor, which is also deemed the Valley of Trouble. And it was there in the Valley of Achor, the Valley of Trouble, where it was all completely destroyed. Let me remind you of those closing verses that we studied last Sunday evening. Look at chapter 7, verse 24. Joshua and all of Israel with him. That means everybody's watching this happen. They took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons and daughters, oxen, asses, sheep, his tent, all that he had, everything that he had. And they brought them into the Valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why hast thou troubled us? And the Lord shall trouble you this day." And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this very day. So of his, the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. And so this valley of Achor, this valley of trouble would be a continual reminder for Israel. A reminder of failure. A reminder of defeat, a place of bad memories. That's where we lost the easy fight to Ai because of the sin that we had broken against God. But with all that being said, one thing that you and I have come to acknowledge is true about our relationship with God is that His mercy and His grace is never ending. He can take a valley of Achor. He can take a place of trouble and turn it into triumph. That He can bring us out of our failures and out of our mistakes. And He can teach us how to learn from them and how to move forward in His victory and in His grace. No doubt, we don't only see that with the children of Israel, but we experience that in our own lives. That in those valleys of trouble, in those places of bad memories, those emotional difficult times when we think about our troubles and our mistakes and our failures, that we've always learned through that, that God's grace overcomes it. And God teaches us the direction He would have us to go, even when we have messed up terribly. Henry Ford, you know the name? We wouldn't be driving vehicles today if it wasn't for Henry Ford. What a lot of you don't know is that he messed up time and time and time again until he finally figured that whole thing out. Henry Ford said this, "A mistake is an opportunity to start over more intelligently." That's a pretty good thought, isn't it? A mistake is an opportunity to start over more intelligently. You learn from your mistakes. And you move forward. Alexander White, a theologian from many centuries gone by, said, "No matter what mistakes we may make, the worst mistake of all is not to try again. For the victorious Christian life is a series of new beginnings." I'm afraid so often that is true in our lives. We have a place in our lives where some bad things happen. And we use it as an excuse for why we're not going forward in God's graces today. Perhaps it was a bad relationship in the past. Perhaps it was a bad church experience. Perhaps it was just some things even in our own life, and we just hang on to it. I'm having a hard time getting over. I'm having a hard time getting all in. I'm having a hard time serving because of this valley of Achor in my life. The problem is we're not starting fresh, and we're not moving forward, and we're not experiencing all that God wants to give us because we're afraid of more failure, more defeat, and another mistake. Friend, I want you to understand that there are going to be more failures. And there are going to be times of defeat. And there are going to be more mistakes. We're human. But it doesn't mean we quit. We thank Him for His grace. And we get up and we try again. And that's the wonderful grace of Jesus. He allows us to learn from our mistakes and begin with a fresh new start. That, friend, is the setting of Joshua chapter 8. Israel is coming out of the valley of Achor. They have just learned a huge lesson by their loss to Ai. And now God gives them another chance. Write down this first point in your notes. We see them having, first of all, a renewed focus. A renewed focus. You know, anytime our focus is truly to be renewed, it'll be with a renewed focus on God's Word. You understand that, don't you? If our focus is going to be renewed, it'll be because we've renewed our focus on God's Word. Look at verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua. Hey, don't fly by that. Pause for a moment. Observe what's happening here. And the biggest observation, as we're learning on Wednesday nights right now in how to study our Bibles, the biggest observation that I see from that simple opening statement in verse number 1 is that was what was missing in chapter 7. Well, look at it. Verse 1, and the Lord said unto Joshua. So already Israel is learning from their mistakes. Because in chapter number 7, they didn't seek God's direction. You can read it. We don't have to. We don't have time today. We can't go back and do all of it. But you read those opening verses in chapter 7. God wasn't speaking. Israel wasn't asking. They were just doing what they thought was the right thing to do. They had become comfortable. Comfortable with their victory at Jericho. And back in chapter 7, they assumed Ai would be a cakewalk, you know. We whooped Jericho. What's Ai? I think this is a great time to be reminded that mistakes are sure to be made and defeats are sure to be experienced when we are not focused on God's Word. They were not focused on God's Word in chapter 7, but in chapter 8, they've learned their lesson. They failed, they lost, an entire family line was wiped out because of it. Judgment had come to Israel. And they had determined, at least for this moment in time, they weren't going to make that mistake again. And so let's begin where we should have began after we won at Jericho. Let's ask God what He wants us to do. And the Lord said. And the Lord said. You see, the blessing is when we focus on God's Word. It gives us everything we need to move forward in victory. Everything. Some of you need a fresh start tonight. No, man, you know, you don't need a new job, a new career, a new location, a new spouse, a new parent. You don't need any of that, all right? That's not what I'm talking about. You need a fresh start with God's Word. You need to renew your focus on His words in your life. Because here's what we see happening in the first couple of verses of chapter 8. I wrote this down in my notes. His Word gives us encouragement to hear. Well, look at verse number 1 again. What's the first thing that God says? Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Hey, you want to be encouraged tonight? Why don't you do a quick Bible study in one of those programs I've gave you Wednesday night of the phrase, fear not. You'll be very, very enamored with how much God told us not to fear throughout the whole Bible. Fear not, He says. Neither be thou dismayed. That word dismayed is an old English word in which we often use discouraged in our modern vernacular. Be not discouraged. Well, why was that important to hear? Think about what just happened. Israel's kind of low right now. They were told they could have the land. All they got to do is go. God's going to give it to them. They crossed the Jordan, victory. They went into Jericho, victory. They go to Ai, cakewalk, defeat. Wait a minute, God, I thought you'd given us this land and they were going to lose. I thought this was ours for the taking, and I'm not going to rehearse the message last week, but you got to understand the mental mindset of Israel right now. They're defeated. They're discouraged. They lost. They watch Achan and his family and everything he owned destroyed. And so the first thing God does is he gives them a word of encouragement. And that's what happens in our lives. When we truly renew our focus on the Word of God, all these things that we're discouraged about, all these things that have us down and depressed and sidetracked, it all of a sudden brings illumination. It encourages us. It strengthens us. Perhaps tomorrow when you start playing that pity party game that I like to play, it's one of my favorites. After you just open the Word of God, get focused and let him encourage your soul. That's what his word does. His word gives encouragement. His word gives instruction. That's the second thing I wrote down. His word gives instruction. Look at what he says in verses 1 and 2. He tells them, fear not, don't be discouraged. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to take how many? All the people. You remember what happened back in chapter 7? Because they didn't seek the word of God and the will of God, they come up with their own military approach. AI is small, it's insignificant. There's no way we can lose. We don't need our whole army. Let's send them all back. Story unfolds. They go, and guess what? Israel's running for their lives now because they realize they had totally misjudged the whole situation. It's as if God is saying now, had you asked me on day one, this would have never been a problem. I would have told you from the beginning that you need everybody, everybody, every one of you. Get all the men and go to Ai. That's what he says. Look at it in verse, let me just summarize this, paraphrase for you. He says, tell all the people of war, go to Ai. You're going to take it by ambush. And this time, look at what he says, verse 2, you can keep the spoils. Now, isn't that interesting? Had Achan only patiently waited, he could have received the wealth he wanted or needed. Some of you are trying to make things happen right now on your own. And you're going to get yourself in an Achan situation. But if you'll just wait and you'll listen to his word and you'll be patient, in his time, he'll give you everything you're looking for. Now, Achan's obviously not around to see this, but you had to know that this was going through the minds of the rest of Israel when God gave him that instruction. Oh, Achan. And what would Achan thought if he was here to hear this today? Warren Wiersbe said, God always gives his best to those who leave the choice to him. Are you listening? God always gives his best to those who leave the choice with him. Achan tried to take matters in his own hands. Cost him everything. But now, Israel is going to be able to benefit from their patience and obedience to the word. His word gives instruction. And then I see in the latter part of verse 1 is that his word gives us promises. Think about the sequence. His word encourages us. His word instructs us. His word gives us promises. Look at what God says to Joshua and Israel at the end of verse number 1. I have given into thy hand the king. You haven't even gone to battle yet, but I am promising you, you will win this war. You see, because Israel acted presumptuously in their first attack at Ai, they failed miserably. But it was the word of God that made all the difference. And it's the word of God that makes the difference in your and my life today. You see, think about this bridge. The word of God makes the difference between faith and presumption. It's the word of God that bridges the two together. And it was this renewed focus on God's word is exactly what they needed to press forward. And that's what we see happening in verses 3 all the way down through 13. Look at verse 3. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai. Joshua chose out 30,000 men of valor and sent them away by night. He commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city. And it shall come to pass, when they come out against us, as at the first, that we will flee before them. All right? You know what he's doing here? He says, we're going to make it look like what happened a few days ago. Just like we ran for our lives, we're going to do it again. But, look at verse 6. For they will come out after us till we have drawn them from out of the city. They will say, they flee before us as at the first, therefore we will flee before them. In other words, they did it before, they're doing it again. Verse 7. It's then at that moment you shall rise up from the ambush, seize upon the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand, and it shall be when ye have taken the city, that ye shall set the city on fire according to the commandment of the Lord shall ye do. See, I have commanded you. Joshua therefore sent them forth, and they went to lie in ambush and abode between Bethel and Ai and on the west side of Ai. But Joshua lodged that night among the people. Joshua rose up early in the morning, numbered the people, went up, he and the elders of Israel before the people of Ai, and all the people, even the people of war that were with him. They went up, they drew nigh, they came before the city, they pitched on the north side of Ai. Now there was a valley between them and Ai. And he took about 5,000 men, set them to lie in ambush. These are the ones that are hiding. Because when Ai comes after the ones that are running, these 5,000 men are going to swoop in right behind them, catch them by surprise. That's why God says you're going to do this by ambush. They're not even going to know it's coming. Verse 12, and they took about the 5,000, put them between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host that was on the north of the city and their liers and the wait on the west side of the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. What's the difference between chapter 7 and chapter 8? The word of God. What's the difference between your life 10 years ago and your life to now? I hope it's the word of God. What's the difference between who you are at this moment, where you will be a year from now? The answer is the word of God. It's all about your focus. And if you need a fresh start, that's where you begin. Renew your focus on God's word. Write the second one down. Not only do we see a renewed focus, we see, secondly, a renewed faith. A renewed faith. This whole scene in verses 14 through 29 is fascinating to me. We read a little bit about it a moment ago. Joshua has informed the army in the preceding verses. He's made it very clear that we're going to appear to Ai, that we are once again fleeing for our lives just like we had done a week prior. But what Ai didn't know was that they had secretly hidden men in this valley to ambush their city while they chased the others. The result? Ai would be stuck. It was a perfect military scheme. Look at it in verse 14. Let's just walk through the verses together. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it that they hasted, rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle. He and all his people at a time appointed before the plain, but he wist not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. All right, already the plan's working. Ai sees Israel coming. Who knows what they were thinking, right? Look at these jokers. Did they not learn their lesson last week? These bunch of morons, that's what they are. Come on, get the stuff together. Let's go give them a second whooping. This will be fun. That's what they're thinking. Who knows what the conversation was, but it had to be something to that effect. Verse 15, and Joshua and all the Israel made as if they were beaten before them. And they fled by the way of the wilderness. So the plan's working. Joshua led his group. Let's turn around and let's look like a bunch of cowards. We're running for our lives because Ai is coming after us. Verse 16, and all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. Here's the key, verse 17. This is how moronic Ai was. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went out after Israel. They left the city open and pursued after Israel. I've never been in military combat. Some of you have, and you understand right here, right quickly, that was foolish. That was foolish. But the plan's working. Joshua's doing exactly what God told him to do. It makes it appear that Israel's scared for their life. They're running. The other 5,000 are in this valley lying secretly. Nobody can see them. Ai can't see them. They're just waiting. And here's Ai, so prideful. Let's go get them. Everybody enjoy this one. We'll make sure they never come back. And they leave the city vulnerable. Verse 18, and the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thy hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thy hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. It had to be that signal, right? You boys in the valley watching me? He pointed. That's your signal. Go get them. Verse 19, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city, and they took it. And they hurried, they hasted, and they set the city on fire. Look at this. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended up to heaven. I don't think they were thinking, oh no, our wives got the breakfast on fire again. All right, that's not what they're thinking. They were thinking, oh no, we messed up. Look at it. Verse 20, and they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people that fled to the wilderness turned back upon the pursuers. So here's what they got. Their base, their home base is burning down with fire. There's 5,000 men ready for them to turn around. They think they should just go ahead and pursue Israel, but what does Israel do? Gotcha! And now they're pouring around. And now they're stuck. Half of Israel is behind them coming this way. The other large portion of Israel is in front of them coming this way. And it's only a matter of time. Look at verse 21. And when Joshua and all of Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city, that the smoke of the city ascended, then they turned again and slew the men of Ai. And the other issued out of the city against them. So they were in the midst of Israel, some on this side, some on that side. They smote them so that they let none of them remain or escape. The king of Ai, they took alive. This is a part of the custom. They brought him to Joshua. It came to pass when Israel had made an end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field of the wilderness wherein they chased them when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for prey unto themselves according to the word of the Lord which he commanded them. And Joshua burnt Ai, made it a heap forever, even a desolation of this day. And the king of Ai, he hung on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remaineth unto this day. Every one of us understands the sense of faith that grows in our hearts and minds when God gives us a victory. There's something invigorating about that. Strengthening. Look what God has just done. I can only imagine what it was like for Israel as they buried the king of Ai. They had failed already miserably once with this city and suffered greatly for it. Now their hearts had to be filled with faith. as they rejoiced in God's favor and giving them another chance. You see, not one of God's words had failed them. Not one. Everything he said they would do, they did. Their focus was renewed on his word, and now their faith had been renewed in his plan. The valley of Achor is now in the past. The conquering of the promised land is within their reach. I believe this is what it means when the psalmist said in Psalm 23, he restoreth my soul. Have you been there? When the failure seems daunting, when the defeat couldn't be any more miserable, but God in his grace strengthens you enough to renew again your focus, not on the conflict, not on the failure, not on the mistake, but on his word. And then you begin obeying like you once did and trusting like you once did and patiently waiting like you once did. And then God comes through exactly the way he said he would. And then that restoration of our soul is strengthened once more in the plan of God for our lives. I'm so thankful for those moments. When you're down, faith in him is renewed. I don't think Brother Bobby would mind me sharing this with you, but over the last couple of months, he and I have had many conversations about how discouraged he and Miss Joyce have been. This is the first Sunday night they've been able to make it in months. And I can just tell. We talked after service this morning. His faith has been renewed. He's been restored. God's blessing and favor on his life. That's what we're talking about here. We need a fresh start that causes us to refocus our attention on God's word and renew our faith in his plan. He restoreth my soul. You may have made some mistakes, have some regrets, experienced failure and defeat. We all have for that matter. Renew your focus and let God renew your faith as he gives you a fresh start and a new opportunity to start all over again. The grace of God. It renews us. It renews our focus. It renews our faith. Let me give you this last one, number three, a renewed commitment. A renewed commitment. Approximately 30 miles from Ai is a place called the Valley of Shechem. It's hard to believe. I've been studying this week. I'm so grateful for what you've done for Kathleen and I for our anniversary. It was totally unexpected. I'm reading this week and I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to see this next month. I'm going to go there. And I can't wait. I'm going to take as many pictures as I can, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to preach and share pictures for a week on the sights and sounds of Israel, all right? This place called the Valley of Shechem, it lies between Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim. And what we read happening here, beginning at verse number 30, is that after the victory at Ai, Joshua led the people to this Valley of Shechem. And the reason he does it is out of response to Moses' farewell speech to Israel before the transition occurred to Joshua's leadership. I want you to see this because I think it'll give you some context as to why this is happening. Hold your place in Joshua 8. Turn over to Deuteronomy 27. Deuteronomy 27. Because what we're fixing to read is exactly what Moses told them to do before he died. Deuteronomy chapter 27, look at verse number 1. And Moses, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day. And it shall be on the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the land. And it's wonderful. He's speaking with a prophetical voice. God's given this vision to Moses. He's telling them, this is going to happen. That the day, verse 2, that we just studied about two weeks ago, the day when ye shall pass over Jordan unto the promised land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, that thou shalt set thee up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And thou shalt write upon them all the words of this law when thou art passed over, which thou mayest go in under the land which the Lord God giveth thee, the land that floweth with milk and honey, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised. Therefore, Moses said, it shall be when ye be gone over Jordan, that ye shall set up these stones which I command you this day in Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster. And there shalt thou build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones. And thou shalt offer burnt offerings there upon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. I'll go back to Joshua chapter 8. Because that is exactly what they did. Verse 30 and 31, Joshua led them to this area and built an altar. Look at it. And then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, which we just read. An altar of whole stones over which no man had lifted up any iron, and they offered thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. I want to ask you a question. Why Shechem? This is good observational practice. Why did he ask them to go to Shechem to do this? Oh, this is good. Some of you know where I'm going. Hold your finger there. Let's go one more spot. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I want you to see something that maybe you haven't thought about. Genesis chapter 12. And find verse number 6. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 6. Here it is. Listen. And Abraham passed through the land unto the place of Shechem. Shechem. Under the plain of Moriah. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And here's what happened. Verse 7. And it was there in Shechem that the Lord appeared unto Abraham and made this promise. Unto thy seed will I give you this land. This land, Abraham. Right here in Shechem. Your seed. You won't see it. You won't be here to experience it. But I promise you something, Abraham. Right here where you stand, I'm going to give your seed this very land. And there, verse 7, Abraham building an altar unto the Lord. Who appeared to him. And now God tells Moses to tell the children of Israel, wait, don't do this right when you get over Jordan. Don't do this in Jericho. Wait until you get to Shechem, because there's something very sentimental about this. Because at that moment, you build that altar in recognition of what I'm doing for you in your very presence is a fulfillment of the promise that I made to your father Abraham many, many years ago, that this day would happen. Oh, this is good. The burnt offerings was a token of Israel's total commitment to God. The peace offerings was a token of gratitude to God. By these two sacrifices, the nation of Israel was renewing their commitment to God and to his purposes. And so Joshua did that in verse 30 and 31. Then we get to verse number 32. Joshua did what Moses told him to do. He wrote the law of God on stones. Look at it, verse 32. And he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as the stranger. As he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, other half over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded before that they should bless the people of Israel. Not only did Joshua copy the law of God as a reminder, but in the closing verses 34 and 35, Joshua read the law of God to the people. And afterward, he read all the words of the law. Verse 34, the blessings and the cursings. I love that. I love that. This says something to preachers and teachers today. You don't get to choose which part of God's word that you want to preach and teach. They read all of it, the blessings and the cursings. The good news and the not so good news. According to all that is written in the book of the law, verse 35, there was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women, the little ones, the strangers that were also among them. Why all the emphasis on God's law? What's a big deal about this process? Let me give you two things to think about and we'll wrap it up. Number one, he was renewing their commitment to God's law in the land of promise. He was renewing their commitment to God's law in the land of promise. That just because God has brought us here doesn't mean we are going to forget his ways as a people. It's important. Because I'm afraid sometimes, even in my own life, I follow him to the place he wants to lead me. And then when I get there, it's like I forget him. God, you've brought me this far. I think I can take it from here. Israel's going to learn some terrible lessons in the years to come. Even some which are consequent, even to this very day. But just because God gave you this land doesn't mean that you can go and just do whatever you want to do. That we're going to commit to him before we get there. And we're going to remain committed to him when we get there. I believe that that's what God wanted them to understand. Don't forget his ways. Here's the second thing I think he's doing. A reminder that their success as a nation relied upon their attitude and obedience to the Lord. I'm not going to take you back and read it. Perhaps you'll write it down. Chapter 1 of Joshua, verses 7 and 8. What was it that God told Joshua? This is how you'll have success. This is how you'll make your way prosperous. Joshua, don't fear. Don't be timid. Don't be intimidated by the fact that Moses was one of the greatest leaders that Israel ever had and that you're following in his footsteps. No, don't even think about that. You just stay committed to the word. And I promise you, you will succeed. I think it's a reminder as Joshua stands up before the people and writes the word and reads the word and says, boys, we messed up the first time in Ai. We ain't going to mess up again. We're going to follow his book. We're going to stay close to his word. By the way, nothing's changed for us. Nothing's changed for us. Our salvation today rests not in our fulfillment of the law, but in our faith in Jesus Christ. However, because of our faith in Jesus and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we are to be committed to the fulfillment of his law. Your word brought us to salvation. We're not going to take it from here. Your word brought us here, and we're going to live all our days committed to your book. Jesus said it like this: you cannot live by bread alone, only by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Kind of brings us full circle, doesn't it? Chapter 1 is absolutely right. And I mentioned it several weeks ago. Everything doesn't rise and fall on leadership. Everything rises and falls on your relationship to God's word. That's what he says in chapter 1. And had they been tuned in to God's word in chapter 7, they would not have experienced defeat. Yet now, they're reminded through God's mercy and grace of a fresh start. That indeed, their commitment to God's word is what ensures their continued success and victory as a people. You need a fresh start tonight? Have you gotten stale spiritually? Feel like you're going through the motions? Can I pull back the curtain a little bit? I never intend to hide behind it. But we all sometimes feel like we're just going through the motions. Sunday. And do what I'm supposed to do. Mentally disconnected, spiritually not in tune. Monday, well, I better read my Bible. I don't want to feel convicted when I go back to church this Wednesday night. The pastor asked me if I've been reading my Bible. Read a couple of verses, pray a little prayer, keep going. You know, that little pattern after a while just feels lifeless. And then we make mistakes, we experience the defeat. We fail And we wonder, what happened? We forgot God's word. We lost our faith in his plan. We lacked our commitment to his purposes. And God's grace comes in and says, you know what? Yeah, you've messed up. You've gotten off track. But let's start again. And let's start right now. Fresh. Forget the mistakes. Forget the suffering. Just right now, say, back to the Bible. Back to faith in him. Back to commitment in his purposes. Let God turn your mistakes into victories. You may have lost at AI, but you don't have to lose again. Listen to his word.